Oh, my friends, we are country cooking with Francine Bryson, and it's done from a redneck kitchen's perspective. And Francine, I mean, this is absolutely awesome being back with you again. I mean,
thanks.
I took a number of your recipes after the show. I went over to my favorite cigar store, Cutter Cigar Emporium, mm-hmm. on Windward Parkway, and I was sharing with people the leftovers. And the owner's wife absolutely had the biggest party of the year coming up, and she made one of your recipes. So she said it was to die for, were her words, literally. Of course, she passed away 3 hours after she ate it, and I understand it was really good. But anyway, she said it was the hit of the party, and that was then.
Good.
That was with your baking. Your baking, of course, is so, I mean, that's what you won all the national awards for, but
right.
you didn't want to... Knowing you, Francine, you don't want to be locked in. You don't want to be just, okay.
I'm not one-dimensional.
That, oh, you certainly are not.
Yeah.
So you came up, what made you think about this? How long did it take you?
Well, the big thing is after the baking book came out, everybody was screaming, can you show us real food? Do you cook real food? That was one of the biggest questions. Is all you do is bake, or do you cook real food? Well, I have to cook real food. My kids can't eat cupcakes all the time. So I was like, I've been cooking since I was 4 years old. I might as well share it with everybody.
And you really started. You really started at an early age.
I did.
Competition was not in baking to start.
No. Competition was in pork, which is my favorite thing to cook. I absolutely love pork. Absolutely do. And it wasn't nothing for me. I mean, it was a little bit of trial and error, of course, to test the recipe and actually make it work. But
I got more oil there if you need it. I measured it out for your book.
We'll make it happen, Captain.
But so if they would have heard the first show, they would have realized you were a champion in pork before you even
yeah.
conceived the idea. And you were very young.
I was 16 when I won my first competition.
And that was in a tough, I mean, when you're talking pork competition in the South.
Right.
That's some serious, serious competition.
Yeah, and I was up against these people that travel around and do pork competitions, and they know what they're doing. Here's this little 16-year-old bebopping through there with her little hair tied up in a ponytail and thinking she's all that in a bag of chips.
You're all that in a bag of chips, I got to say.
That's what I thought.
Well, I got to say that this cookbook is pretty all-inclusive.
It's definitely got everything in it. And this is one of the things that I really, really, really want people to understand. This cookbook was wrote whenever I'm a cookbook collector.
And
I read them like novels. And what I do is when I want to make something out of cookbooks, fanciness and all this kind of stuff, I go to one cookbook for an appetizer. I go to one cookbook for the first course. I go to another one for the entree, another one for this. And then I end up with another one for dessert. And I designed this one to go from start to finish. Everything. Side dishes, vegetables, desserts, breads, meats, dips, salads. Everything, one book.
Now, when you're cooking traditionally for a gathering at the, let's say you have a family gathering.
At the Hillbilly Hideaway?
That's right. What do you do as far as, how do you start out? Now, you've got some great dips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you traditionally just have the food, sit down and eat, or do you like do a lot of dips and a lot of stuff out there so people can kind of snack and eat all day long?
I try to have a dip out first so they can snack. And while I'm finishing up the first course and everything, I let them snack and chew and stuff on that. And there's always something in my house to snack on. There's always something ready to go. Because I never know when there's somebody coming over.
Do you keep stuff, like, prepared in
always.
The fridge?
Always. I've always got spinach dip made.
Oh, really?
Always. That's the number one thing that everybody asks me for. Dadgummit.
See, I'm not a big fan of the of spinach because obviously it's green. And I try to stay away from all the green stuff I possibly can because I know how good it is for you. But you had some great dips, like your chili cheese dip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds just heavenly.
Your
garden
good.
Dip?
I love the garden dip. Because I don't like ranch.
What?
I'm not a ranch eater. The only time I eat ranch is I mix ranch and blue cheese together, go on buffalo wings. That's it. I'm not a ranch eater.
Really?
I am not a ranch eater. I am a balsamic freak.
Oh, are you really?
Love balsamic. And
I mean,
with
we're
all
getting
the...
some secrets about Francine Bryson that we didn't know. Her book is called Country Cooking from a Redneck Kitchen. When you open it up, it's got chili cheese dip, it's got garden dip, it's got deviled ham dip, which you're going to do for us a little later on in the show. Most requested spinach dip. I'll bet that's because that's the one everybody asks for.
It's what everybody wants.
That's how did I know it? Great title. The Watergate salad. Now, some people might look at that and say, has this got political perspective to it, or is this just...
That's what it's called. I mean, that was one of the... I think it was invented years and years and years and years ago. And... You sure that's old?
What's that?
Are you sure that is old? Yeah.
It's oil.
No, it was not oil. What'd you pour in that cup?
Oil. I took it out of that same.
That's not oil.
What kind of oil you need? I got more.
Well, I got vegetables. I got it over here
now. I poured it out of the same container.
That's not oil, honey.
I don't know.
Oil doesn't steam.
Oil don't steam.
We can get a facial off of that oil.
Yeah. I bet this thing never happened before.
No, this is absolutely a
this
first.
This is cool.
Yeah,
Let's do away with this.
Yeah, I would say so. Anyway, while we're changing the oil out.
That's water.
I know, but just, I poured it out of the same thing. I poured it out of there. Now that's oil.
That's oil.
What?
That's oil.
Oil.
Oil. Oil. Oil.
Okay.
Oil.
Well, I'm just saying. Now, see, that's the same container I poured it out. There's nothing else I had to pour it out of. Now it's so clear.
Now it's so clear we can't see it.
That's right. Now, if this does it again, then I'm going to be disturbed because that is oil.
That's definitely oil.
But anyway... So you actually laid this cookbook out in such a way where you start with your dips and you go to your salads.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very logically laid out.
Yes. And that's what I wanted because I'm being a collector, reading cookbooks, you get confused because you've got like dessert in the first chapter and then you got breads in like the middle and then you got meats at the end. And that's not the way I wanted mine to look.
And one of the things I noticed too, Francine, that I was really, really fascinated about was that these are recipes a lot of people may have heard of, but these are a lot of Southern traditional recipes that unless you go to someone's private home, you're probably not going to see in restaurants or places
right.
like that.
Now,
these are
you'll see it in like meat and three places.
Yeah.
But the majority of people are not going to meat and three because they think it's too heavy or something. And a lot of times it can be heavy, but these are meals that you celebrate. You bring your family together. You sit everybody down. You eat together. And you enjoy the food. And it sticks with you. And somebody's letting their britches out. And somebody's asleep in the recliner. It's like Thanksgiving every day.
Well, and this is one of the things, too. You've done something that authors are starting to do more and more of. But it's absolutely a difficulty factor, too, when you're doing it, is the stories.
Right.
Every recipe... You've got a little story at the beginning, so it really does bring it home to you.
Well, every recipe has a memory for me, whether it was a competition memory or it's something from my Nana and Granny or something from Mama and Daddy. Everything, and that's what I love, is I love the way food brings you home. No matter what's going on in your life, food always brings you home.
Well, one of the recipes I was fascinated about was the one on the chili that you did. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's not a recipe. A lot of your recipes, you can, if it's too much, if you're making for a smaller batch, you can.
Right.
But this ain't one of them.
No, this is one that you should not cut down, mainly because it just don't taste right if it's cut down. You can freeze what you don't eat right then or the next day, but don't cut it down. Don't mess with it. But Daddy started his chili when I was real. In fact, the scar I have on my finger.
I see
that
it.
Cut. It's from me cutting the jalapenos for my daddy at 7 years old. And I still have the scar. And every time I look at it, I think of daddy and the chili.
So this is a great chili.
Exactly. And it's the one that everybody wanted him to make for stuff. They was like, please make your chili for this event or that event or this party and everything. So he did, and he showed it to me, and I gave up the recipe.
And it's a great recipe, but like I said, it's not a chili. You better plan on freezing a lot of it.
Right. It's a big batch. But you think about it. We're Southern. We're feeding people. I mean, I can't cook for two people. I've tried. I have tried so hard, but I can't do it. I cook, like my grandpa used to say, when I would visit them in South Carolina, I cook spaghetti for them, and he would call Daddy and say, I love the way she cooks, but she cooks for the whole neighborhood in one meal.
And she's cooking for us. Coming up next, we're going to find out what's coming up on her skillet. And I think I know. It sounds and smells good. It's Chef and the Fat Man live at Cook's Warehouse East Cobb with Francine Bryson, the Redneck Chef.